We certainly want to crown Jesus Lord of all, and we hope and pray that is your mindset as we are here together in these songs and the opportunity to remember that great sacrifice on our behalf, to think about that He is in our midst, and the recognition, certainly we have to give an answer in the last day, in the judgment day, the scripture reading in Romans chapter 13, to think about the words. We hope and pray that your minds will be open to the truth of God's Word this morning. Lesson this morning is, you can't catch me. You know, young people think that they can't get caught in sin's trap. They think that they are invincible, unstoppable. And if you think back for those of us who are older to recognize and think about during that period of time, maybe we had that mindset also. But kind of remind the attitude of the gingerbread man. If you haven't known that story in a while, just a short reminiscence. It goes back to the 1800s, I understand. Here is an elderly lady. She makes the gingerbread man and wants to eat him. And he runs past a pig who desires to eat him, runs past a horse who desires to eat him, and a cow who desires to eat him. And at each danger point, he thinks he's fast enough, saying, "You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Run, run as fast as you can. You're not going to catch me." And so many people in the world think, well, they aren't going to be caught. But some Christians think that they can flirt with the world and they're never going to get hurt by it. I'm never going to suffer the consequences of my actions. We ask you this morning to examine yourselves. Some people might think, well, okay, I can immediately tune out because we're just going to mention about the young people. No, unfortunately, you think about these different things we're going to be talking about is concerning all people. And so we hope and pray that you'll examine yourselves to see if you're guilty. Examine yourselves by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. First of all, you think about the idea of you can't catch me. Some will think you can't catch me in lust. We read that passage in Romans chapter 13 that talked about lust. There are those who would look at pornography in the internet and think about, well, there isn't going to be any consequences to that. There are some that would actually, a new word that's more recent, of sexting, whereby sending nude or semi-nude pictures to others, flirting with others, this isn't going to affect my spiritual life. And to think about, of course, the cell phone, where most teenagers have a cell phone these days, there's a great danger. I'm not saying it's all evil and everything, but there's great dangers in that. And looking at the statistics of this, 20% of teens overall have sent nude photos or semi-nude photos or videos of themselves to others. 20%. 22% of teen girls have done so. 18% of teen boys. We think about, well, concerning the girls, no, the teen boys, apparently, quite a number of doing that. 11% of young teen girls between the ages of 13 and 16. That young of age. This from guardchild.com is the results. Sexually suggestive messages that have been sent, 39% of all teens, 37% of teen girls, 40% of teen boys, and 48% of teens said they have received such messages. And so you think about the warnings, and you think about those who are older, think about how is this possibly happening? Well, you know, there are, you know, laws against that, but the whole thing is that girls are being pressured to do this, and some are giving in, and some thinking, well, it's just a fun and flirtation thing. Must realize it is a great danger. Somebody will mention, well, how can you mention this concerning that this is dark deeds and so on? Well, we're warned in the Scripture, even to Scriptures, even to Christians, in Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them. The unfruitful works of darkness will destroy your life. It will destroy concerning your concentration, your focus, even upon school and the great dangers of what it leads to. What is the problem? When those images are in your mind, you're feeding upon that, and if you don't look away or turn away from that, you're going to desire more and more. It's not like you think about with a picture, you know, hey, we got cameras on our phones. Hey, we can just delete the picture. No, those images are in your mind. In Romans chapter 8, I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul said as we consider this. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says these words. In Romans 8 and verse 5, reading from the New American Standard Bible, he said, "For those who are according to the flesh," notice what they do. What are they setting their minds on? "They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit," the things that have been revealed in the Scriptures. In verse 6, notice the warning here. "For the mindset in the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, some would try to look at this passage and just say, well, we have a sinful nature and God has to do something to my heart in order to change it. No, you can have a spiritual mindset or a fleshly mindset. And if you have a fleshly mindset, if you have that mindset, you're probably going to be angry concerning this even being brought up, concerning this being brought out in the open. The recognition is that here, the idea of submitting to the flesh. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 says to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. When we think about war, there's going to be death as a result. And God wants us to have the picture concerning this great danger. And so you abstain from fleshly lust. But these things are going to lead to fulfilling those lusts. I want you to think about, well, somebody says, well, as long as you don't commit the act, you don't commit the act of fornication or adultery, nothing, you know, it's all right. No, it's not all right. Jesus gives a strong warning in Matthew 5 and verse 28. I want you to think about how up to date the Bible is. And the Lord knows our hearts. "Crown Him Lord of all" begins first in the heart, in a desire to please Him and not our flesh. Jesus said these words in Matthew 5 and verse 28. He said, everyone. I want you to think about the fact that he says everyone, because some people think, well, not me. It's not going to affect me. No, Jesus said, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already done what? Has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's only left for the opportunity to come about. And so these desires in your heart leads to that kind of sinful behavior. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's much warnings. There are warnings in the Scriptures concerning the, like a father talking to a son about the opposite sex and the warnings that are there. If you read Proverbs 5, chapter 6 and chapter 7 and all those warnings, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6. I want you to think about what the Word of God is able to do for you in protecting and guarding your heart. In Proverbs 6, verse 22, he said, "When you walk about," talking about the Word of God, "they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for the precious life." We think about the great danger that is there. You think about what he says next there. Verse 27. "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished." We've been told, you know, concerning parents, tell the children, don't play with fire, you're going to get burned. When you think about it in the spiritual connection concerning lust, don't play with fire, don't play with around and look at pornography or sending these messages or desire to flirt in this way and think that you're not going to get burned. You're going to get burned. We need to heed the warnings of God's word. But so many start thinking about fulfilling their desires. What picture does God want us to have? God gives us pictures. The Bible is a book of pictures. In Proverbs chapter 7, in the next chapter, in Proverbs chapter 7, here's a young man who is enticed by this woman. You can think about those who would meet others on the internet. We're going to meet in a secret place. Kind of have this idea in the background. Of course, it wouldn't have been available during that period of time. But I'm going to meet this woman. And here's this woman who is immodestly dressed. And she's going to say, hey, there's no problem here. My husband is gone. And we're going to fill our time with love and caresses. And so, with her many persuasions, verse 21, she entices him with her flattering lips. She seduces him. In verse 22, notice God wants you to have this picture in your mind. Instead of fulfilling your desires, he said, suddenly follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. His life, instead of imagining fulfilling your desires, think about what is the end. It's like an ox going to the slaughterhouse. Blood everywhere. This is what God wants us to picture. Oh, but you can't catch me. Run as fast as you can. I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm different. Listen and heed to what the Word of God says. Don't say you can't catch me in lust. Also, there's a major problem with profanity. And you might think, quote unquote, as far as you know the way they put it, adult language doesn't sound as bad as profanity. That doesn't sound as bad, does it? But we see it on the movies and we see it on TV programs. You see it on the internet or music that you might listen to. Oh, it's just harmless. You got presidential candidates. So we'll just use profanity. Left and right. And so it's just a commonplace thing. Netflix is putting on more things whereby they say, hey, this is the way people talk today. And so you have all these profane things. And we think it's not going to affect and influence us. I heard, you know, several Christians say, well, I heard this. I didn't even hear these things in the movie. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all. It's harmless. Do you not realize concerning what is happening in our minds, that we're being desensitized to sin and don't even realize it or recognize it? You know, Jesus said you need to be careful what you listen to in Mark 4, verse 23. Many times you look in the book of Revelation, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are our ears open to the truth of God's word? Or I'm just closing my mind off to this. I don't care. Well, the whole thing is that we're going to have to give an answer to God for these things concerning what we listen to. When we think about what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. What you hear affects what you think in your mind. And what you think in your mind is going to affect what you say. And I mentioned this to brethren here before, I think. But I think about as a teenager, my parents, even though I was raised in the church, they let me and my brother get away with things. And this is when HBO was coming back in the 70s and so on. And my parents actually let us have HBO. What do you think happened to our language as a result? Shouldn't be surprised, garbage in, garbage out, concerning the garbage that would come out of our minds. Thankfully, I was converted later on, but the whole thing is that these things are affecting your mind and influence in the words that you speak, and that's going to affect others. In Philippians chapter 4, this is what we need to be doing with concerning our mind. It's Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, what should you do? He said, let your mind dwell on these things. Are you letting your mind dwell on these things? that are good and pure and right? If not, think about what the Lord has said, what the Scriptures say and teach on this, to whereby, hey, if I put positive things in, I'm going to have positive things come out as a result. And the Word of God will help do that for you. But you have to have conviction on the matter. You need to recognize concerning, well, what's the big deal concerning a few words. In Matthew 12 and verse 37, Jesus said, you'll be justified or condemned by your words. You're going to speak out of what fills your heart. You decide what you're going to put in your mind. So, well, I can't control a lot of the things. People use a lot of profanity at work and even at school, and they use all these things. Yes, you can still overcome that by putting those positive words and be able to, hopefully, to whereby you can say something to your friend or coworker or classmate, to whereby, at least around you, they aren't going to use the words. And, of course, in the school atmosphere, you're not supposed to be using profanity anyway. And so the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, he said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart what? Grace to the hearers. Instead of profane things to the hearers, grace to the hearers. Something that will help them, that will be beneficial to them. We need light in this dark world of sin, and to whereby corruption is affecting and influencing us from even a young age. I sat in a tragedy, you think about concerning even younger kids, even elementary school, that use profanity. Also, you can't catch me in attendance, having poor attendance. You think about some that would miss services, think, well, it's not going to affect me at all. It's not going to affect my faith. You think of how many individuals that were raised in the church, and they go on their way, whether they go in the military, they go off to college, and they don't go to services. Not having that spiritual interest. And again, I'm going to tell on myself here, leaving home and not going to services. And waking up to the realization concerning what I miss. What do you receive when you come together? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Hebrew writer is writing to persecuted Christians during this period of time. Those who would be serving God would be suffering for the cause of Christ and what they had to overcome as a result of coming together. And in Hebrews 10, verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. How many were wavering or compromising? What is going to help me hold fast confession of my hope without wavering? And you too. To recognize the latter part of verse 23 and what he says here, he says, he who promised is faithful. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? That God keeps his promises? That he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins? He loved you enough to do that for you. And he is faithful to keep his promises concerning eternal life to those who obey him. In verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. As a result of being here together, we're encouraged and we're stimulated to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom, to sow the seed of the Word of God, so that good and honest hearts might hear, and they might not lose their souls, but that maybe one good and honest heart will respond. Or maybe those who are needy, those who need spiritual help, those who need encouragement, those who are weak, those who are suffering with cancer, those who are suffering without a mother or father, son or daughter. They need that help and that encouragement. Here, as we come together, to not be selfish and just think about ourselves, but think about others. Notice he said, consider others here. And he said in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Even during that period of time, those who were habitually missing services. Well, I said, well, who can blame them? They were suffering through persecution. We're not suffering through persecution, and there are those who would habitually miss services. Oh, it's not going to affect my faith. Well, what happens when the temptations come? Well, I can worship God in different places and in nature and things like that. You notice concerning the assembling of ourselves together, there are actually denominations that would have drive-through services. Here, while you get your Lord's Supper meal, we're a fast-paced society. We got to just get it in and get it out. I'll give a few minutes to God. For the one who died for you, this is the kind of sacrifice that you're going to make. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But he said here in continuation of that passage, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I need that. I need the encouragement that you are here. Hopefully you need the encouragement of each other, your brothers and sisters in Christ, who love and care and are concerned about your souls and miss you when you're not here. We think about the passage in Hebrews chapter 3, a few chapters earlier. The Hebrew writer mentioned about the Israelites who fell in the wilderness. In Hebrews 3, in verses 7 through 11. So it basically warns them, don't harden your heart here. In verse 12, the application of the Hebrew writer to the brethren there in the first century, and to us as well, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So for those who say, well, once you're saved, you're always saved, you need to recognize a believer can become an unbeliever and depart from the living God. Well, what's going to help prevent that from happening? You see the responsibility concerning those who are Christians here also, and not just those who are missing. But verse 13, but do what? But encourage one another day after day. Well, we'll take care of that tomorrow, or next month, or next year. No, what's the problem if you wait and delay on that? They could harden their heart against God. He said, you do this, you encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is so deceitful. And sometimes you think about, well, you can't catch me as far as my attendance goes. It's not going to affect my faith. I can tell you for a fact, when I was in the Navy, that affected me. And it affects all those who are honest to admit that in their lives. You need to recognize Jesus loves you and died for you. He has promised to be here for those who are gathered together in His name, where two or three are gathered together in My name. There I am in the midst of them, in Matthew 18 and verse 20. So don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Well, you know, what about if we're going through division? What about if we're going through problems? You look in the Bible, the churches that were written to, there were lots of problems. There was lots of issues going on. Well, so I can make an excuse that I'm not going to worship God. We recognize concerning, hey, you can decide, faithful congregation of the Lord, a faithful church of Christ, and you can decide to go elsewhere. But the thing is concerning here, being a member, here we are gathered together in His name to be here at every service you possibly can. But how many will allow pleasure, whether fishing or golfing or playing or watching a game on TV, to hinder them? We're told in Romans 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what the will of God is. What is the will of God? It is good and acceptable and perfect. The promises of God are faithful and true. We can hang our hat on it. We can be thankful for that in our lives. We think about concerning our lives, you know, you aren't going to have a problem with lust or be a stumbling block if you dress modestly. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Those young girls giving into the temptation don't even realize or think about what that's going to do to the ones who send it. And they're going to spread it to others, and naive and innocent in that way. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, dress modestly. Don't give in to that temptation. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You do that by submitting to God. Concerning, well, it's not just the girls who are responsible. Well, it's her fault. She's the one who sent it to me. No, the recognition is to be like Job, who made a covenant with his eyes that he would not gaze upon a virgin. I heard a very good thing concerning a woman teaching her children concerning here is a woman in a bikini on maybe a commercial. The commercials are bad too. And to whereby, you know, well, that she needs her privacy, so we're gonna close our eyes as a result. We taught our son Andrew to look away. The whole thing is that you can overcome. You can look away. You don't have to give in to that temptation. What about profanity? How am I going to go overcome that? How am I going to deal with that? In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, Solomon says, the heart of the righteous, what do? Ponders how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The wicked is just going to, whatever they think, it's going to come out. Everybody else is going to have to deal with it. Everybody knows that this is my nature. This is the way that I am. The righteous is not like that. He's going to think before he speaks. We're going to train our mind to think before we speak. If God gave us a command, we can fulfill it. But we have to have the desire to do that, to do the things that are pleasing unto God. What about services? Well, you're not going to have a problem with attending services if you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. In Matthew 22, verse 37, if you are seeking the kingdom of God first. But I was just too tired. I understand concerning sickness, but here it is concerning individuals that, well, on the Lord's day, you know, Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, whenever it might be, I have this headache, but I can work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and then I have this headache on Sunday where I just can't come to services. The Lord knows your hearts. Let us love God and put Him first in our lives. There are many ways you might be thinking, deceived into thinking, well, sin's not going to ever catch me. I realize all that you said, Steve, but it's not going to affect and influence me. You think about how many that would lie to get ahead, get that promotion, or lie to get out of trouble. Say my brother or my sister had done it. How sad and how tragic you think about it is when we're older and we continue that habit. Well, or we drink with our friends in order to be popular. Or to make a deal for our company, we're gonna wine and dine them, as the saying goes. Or we're going to gamble. Yeah, the deception that is there. Oh well, we'll be able to help more people if we can just gamble. Never mind that we've taken from many poor people who have contributed to that, and to think that I'm going to gain. I'm going to be able to help more people. Oh, it's a deception. Or a stealing to cover up, I have a gambling problem, and so I have to steal. And so maybe children steal from their parents, or here they have to mortgage their house. And here they have to take from others in order to pay their bills. Or how many, you know, they committed the sin of fornication or adultery, and they have to cover that up. And so we'll abort or we'll kill that child as a result. Well, God knows all these things, and you think about the way that these things work, or even murder. You think about the gingerbread man. You think back to the gingerbread. He made the gingerbread man. He hops and runs away, and she's chasing him. This is what we mentioned earlier. He's chasing the pig, cow. The pig, cow, and horse want to eat him also. He comes to a river and accepts help from a fox. Well, the fox helps him cross the river, tricks him to climb closer and closer to that danger, and then, as we know the end of the story, then he eats him. I know that the children don't maybe like that story. Hey, I didn't, you know, the fox said, he told me he wasn't going to do it, the gingerbread man said. He told me he wasn't going to do it, but he's a fox. The deception of the devil. Many sinners, even brethren, it's not going to affect me. I'm never going to be caught up in sin or suffer the consequence of their actions. Then all of a sudden they're caught up in sin and they have to deal with that. The devil is going to deceive you and try to convince you that this is all right. It's not going to hurt you. It is really going to help you as a result. You're going to have your freedom. You leave home and you'll be free to do whatever you want and leave out the point that you'll be enslaved in your sins, whether it's being an alcoholic or whether it's being a fornicator or an adulterer or speaking profane things. All these things, because you giving yourself into the flesh are going farther than you intended. The devil, in the end, is going to devour the deceived. You know, notice in Revelation chapter 20, we know the end of the devil and what's going to happen to him. In Revelation chapter 20, the scripture says, "And they came upon the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." It's never going to end. You know, the book of life is going to be opened in the end. Wow, you're just trying to scare people. This is in the Bible and the Word of God. And to think about, you know, death and Hades. We think about that we die and we go to a place, whether it's going to be in the part of paradise where there's a chasm fixed. And you remember Lazarus and the rich man, to whereby the other one is suffering in torment. And here in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and Hades, Hadean realm is the realm of the dead, gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Yes, there is a second death. Contrary to public opinion today, there is a second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Do you believe what the Bible says? Yes, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32, verse 23. What is the only escape that we have? Jesus, who loves you and died for you. God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Much more than being justified, we shall be saved by his life. We can be saved from the wrath of God only through Jesus Christ. He's the only escape route. What about your life? Are you prepared for the judgment day right now? If not, you have this time and this opportunity to respond to the gospel invitation. The miracles, wonders, and signs show Jesus is the Son of God. Read through the book of John. These were written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. Need to repent of your sins, to turn your will over to God's will. I'm going to change my mindset. Like those in the day of Pentecost were told, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Not having water sprinkled on you, but being buried with Christ, be immersed, as Ethiopian eunuch was in Acts chapter 8. Both went down to the water, Philip as well as eunuch, and he baptized him. Then he went on his way rejoicing. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you know what you need to do and you need to respond, don't delay. The devil's trying to save you. I've got plenty of time. I've got my whole life to sow my wild oats. And how many have been deceived? If your heart isn't right this morning, please think about your precious soul, which Jesus died for. Obey the gospel. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you need to be restored to think about, I'm going on this pathway of evil. You can be restored back to the fold once again, as Acts chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, as Simon the sorcerer was told to repent and pray that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. We give you this time and this opportunity. Don't delay. Don't wait. Respond to the gospel. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing the song.